Radio 4, it's 8:30, time for Saturday Night Theatre.
We present The Minister, the novel by Maurice Adelman, MP, adapted for radio by David Geary, with Rosemary Leach as Elizabeth and Nigel Graham as Geoffrey Melville. The Minister.
How long have we got, Geoffrey?
I should think about 5 minutes or so. Francis is coming round with the car.
Well, how about Julia Dreyfus?
I think he's picking her up on the way here. I asked him to give her a ring this afternoon.
Well, don't show her any gin or we'll never get to the dinner at all.
I'm logging it up. I put 4 very respectable sherry glasses out. That ought to get the message across.
Very clever.
Oh, you look stunning.
Thank you. Well, are you excited?
Yes, I think I am. Oh, not about the dinner. That'll be a first-class bore.
But about the Constitution?
Yes.
Well, you certainly worked hard enough over it. I've really been worried about you.
Oh, that's nice. But you shouldn't have. But I must admit, I've worked harder in helping one small African state to emerge, as they say, than the rest of the ministry work put together.
As your wife, I will confirm that. I don't think we've had an evening together. Well, not a whole evening, for at least 6 weeks. Mm.
And the one evening we should have had together, we celebrate with 100 others at a stuffy dinner at Lancaster House. I am sorry, darling.
Oh, don't be silly. You can give me a kiss to make up for it.
Oh, thank you. Mm. There. Happy anniversary, darling.
You said that this morning.
I know. And I might say it later tonight.
Why not?
Oh, let's have a sherry. I feel I need one.
Lovely.
Oh, did I tell you I'm seeing Sylvia on Thursday, by the way?
No. What's she doing about her birthday next week? Staying in Oxford or coming out to London?
I don't know. I'll ask her. It'd be nice if she'd come home, wouldn't it?
Mm. But try and get her to let me know soon. I like to get things settled.
Right.
How's your African feeling about the Constitution?
Mlanda? Ah, he's as pleased as Punch. There you are.
Thank you.
Oh, you know I have to see him to the airport after the dinner.
Yes, you did say.
It won't take long. He's an amazing man, really. Tremendous energy. But underneath, he's terribly calm in a strange sort of way. In fact, he's a delightful chap. He's had a pretty rough life, though. Yes, I think he'll make a good job of things. The new constitution should give him the chance.
Well, you ought to be jolly proud of it.
I think I am. Not that I'm going to get any credit for it from our dear Deputy Prime Minister.
Oh, awful Ormston.
Is that what you call him?
It is actually one of your daughter's more inspired descriptions.
Yes, a very good one. No, I'm afraid while Mr. Gerald Ormston is in charge of proceedings, your husband's efforts will go unrecognized.
He really is impossible.
He's managed very neatly to create the impression that all the work's been done by Ted Drayford.
But from what you've told me, Drayford's done nothing.
Well, Ted Drayford was put on the commission for one very good, very British reason. His money.
Oh.
A leading light in industry and a man with an influential TV network can't fail to be useful. And he was. Pouring drinks for African chiefs at Government House in Kadawa. And a few for himself, of course. I suppose he enjoyed the part so much, that's why he's still out there.
But Ormston wouldn't agree with that.
Oh, yes, he probably would, in private. But in public, Drayford's the blue-eyed boy. That way he can keep me in my place.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, well, one's seen it before. The trouble is that Ormston's out for himself, and not for the country.
And how about you?
I don't know. I'd like to think I was out for both. I'd like to think that a minister can still have a bit of idealism left somewhere. I sincerely believe that if the PM has to appoint a successor, I would be better for the country than Ormston would. Ormston would push us quietly back to the beginning of the century, almost without anyone noticing.
How is the PM, by the way?
I don't know. I'll be seeing him tomorrow, though.
Oh?
Mm, he'll want to know about Mlanda.
Oh, yes. Well, give him my love.
Of course.
Oh, he really has had the most awful luck with this illness. I don't think a man of his age should be allowed to be Prime Minister. It's far too demanding. But if he does get him, he can't have anything in reserve.
No. Oh, Andrew Collard should never have had to take over. Well, that's politics. He was the only man the cabinet didn't object to.
How awful. Sounds like an epitaph.
I'm afraid that he may need one soon. Oh, there's more to Collard than that. He's the sort of man you think is just a nice old boy till you find he can drive a bargain so hard it can hurt. He's another amazing man in his way. Oh, we've arrived.
Good evening, Mrs. Melville.
Hello, Francis. Julia, how nice to see you again. Julia. Come on in. Mm.
I do hope I haven't held you up.
Not at all.
Oh, awful lot of traffic on the way to Mrs. Drayford's.
Oh, plenty of time. Don't worry.
Come and sit down, Julia.
Right.
Oh, well. Sherry, Julia?
Fine.
Splendid. Well, are you prepared for an evening of pomp and circumstance?
Prepared, yes. But not exactly wild at the prospect.
I don't think any of us are, really.
It strikes me my husband's well out of it.
How is Ted?
Well, he seems to be having a great old time. Not that I've heard much. He never could bother to lift pen to paper.
He likes Kadawa?
Well, he'd like anywhere that hasn't got TV yet. Gives them a chance to get in first.
Oh, God,
it's perfectly true. But tell me, what are we in for tonight?
A pretty good dinner. To be paid for by some protracted speeches.
Oh, I see.
Yes, our revered Chancellor, Mr. Ormston, will give us an encouraging picture of emergent Africa, while no doubt shedding an ill-concealed tear for the departed empire, and he will wish Godspeed to the youngest infant in our Commonwealth family. The infant himself, Nando, will know exactly how to reply to that sort of thing, and probably make us feel a little uneasy into the bargain, won't he, Francis?
Yes, I think he will.
And then I shall wind up.
Oh. What are you going to say?
At this moment, I've no idea, Julia. But as I believe you're sitting next to me, I'd obviously better keep it short.
What an excellent speech from Mlanda. A most unusual man. He's really quite a charmer.
Charmer? So I suppose you could call him that.
Well, if you don't believe me, you'd better ask Elizabeth.
What?
It's a very great asset to have such a devoted wife, I'm sure.
Yes. You don't sound entirely convinced.
Oh, I am.
Did you know it's our 24th anniversary today?
Is it? Wonderful. How could she have put up with you for so long?
Elizabeth has a natural wisdom. She's always made life easy for me.
By turning a blind eye, you mean?
You know, by understanding her own importance in my life. And perhaps mine in hers.
All right, don't get grand. Did you see Helen's notices the other day, by the way?
Helen? Langdale?
Helen Langdale, yes. Her new play opened last week.
Oh, yes. No, I didn't see them. What were they like?
Not her best.
Oh, sorry.
Do you, see anything of her these days?
No.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen. Pray silence for the Right Honourable Geoffrey Melville, a member of Her Majesty's Privy Council.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, before coming here this evening, I made a promise in the privacy of my own home that my speech tonight would be a short one. I see no reason to go back on my promise. The Chancellor has already outlined the course which the government sees as the way to achieve harmony between the new African nations themselves and their fellow members of the Commonwealth. I would add only one thing. No nation can rise to maturity without leadership that is in itself mature. The man in whose honor we are assembled this evening has, to my own very definite knowledge, those necessary qualities. Firm leadership and mature judgment. Mr. Mlanda has another excellent quality. Discretion. When he was speaking to you just now, he mentioned that the two of us have known each other for several years. He mentioned also the many occasions when, as a student in London, he attended our public meetings. I would mention what he carefully omitted, that those occasions provided the most effective and vocal opposition I have ever met from a member of any audience in my whole life. Now it's his turn.
but we wish him well. I will end with a statement of faith. I see Mr. Mlanda opening a new era in Africa. We should watch carefully the evolution of the new state whose provisional constitution we celebrate tonight. Modern science has made the world shrink. Distant continents are now our neighbors. This is the age of the multiracial society. And tonight, in proposing the toast of a new state, I want to make this declaration. The African is my friend. I want him to be my brother.
You were terribly good, Geoffrey. I like the bit about the multiracial society. I'm never quite sure what it means. It
means what I said, Julia. I want the African to be my brother.
But that doesn't mean...
Oh, no. I want the African to be my brother, not my brother-in-law.
Laughing. Oh, something silly. Geoffrey was telling me about a friend who's getting married for the fourth time. She always marries colonels in the horse guards.
Yes, she's had three shot from under her.
You won't be staying too long, will you, sir?
Oh, no, nurse. No, just a few minutes. How is he?
As well as can be expected. He gets tired very easily, but he's been out in the gardens quite a bit.
Has Mr. Broom been to see him this week?
He came this morning and seemed to think progress was satisfactory.
Good.
He'll be calling again on Friday.
Well, I'll go in then.
Yes, of course, sir. Oh, you may find him dozing. Would you like me to wake him up?
No, that's all right. I'll cope. Oh, would you care to take these flowers my wife sent him?
Oh, yes. They're lovely. I'll go and find a vase. I'll see you before you go, sir.
Fine. Thank you, nurse.
Who's there? Who's there? Broom, is it?
No, Prime Minister, it's Melville. Geoffrey Melville.
How good of you to come, Geoffrey. I'm beginning to find my army of medical attendants rather tedious company.
I'd have come more often, Prime Minister, but...
No. I'm glad now. Never mind. You're here. How's Elizabeth?
Very well. She asked me to give you her love. And the nurse is fixing up some flowers she sent you.
Kind of like Elizabeth. The very first time we met, you were a young member. She mistook me for the sergeant at arms. Touch of baldness, I suppose.
You're looking very well today.
Yes, yes. It's all behind me. I'd probably be off to Aix-en-Provence or somewhere for a few weeks soon. I always think sea cures are overrated. But never mind about that. I want to know all the gossip.
Oh, it's all very much the same. Mlando went off grinning, which I suppose is satisfactory.
Yes, good. You saw him off?
After the dinner last night.
Good.
I always make a point of seeing my Africans to the airport. Make certain they don't come under any unsuitable influences on the way.
Good, Geoffrey, very good. And Yates, has he taken it?
Well, the newspapers have been very kind to him. I'm told that this morning's smiling picture of the deputy leader of the opposition masked some bitter inner feelings.
Oh, yeah. He really is insufferable.
Quite insufferable.
Insufferable. But brilliant. Is he still friendly with Julia Drayford?
Not as friendly as he was. I think he's last year's friend.
That's very satisfactory. I wouldn't like to think of Drayford talking to Yates via Julia.
No, I don't think there's any danger of that, Prime Minister. Certainly not while Drayford's in Kadawa. Anyway, I doubt if Julia ever speaks to her husband except to say, more gin.
But you mustn't underestimate Drayford, you know. The Africans like him.
Yes, I think I do.
Geoffrey?
Yes, Prime Minister.
I'm glad you handled everything so well.
Thank you.
You now have a great national reputation. You are excellent in the party political broadcast. You're well thought of in the party and in the government. And you're a good-looking man. How old are you?
45.
Mm. And your health?
Excellent.
Oh, good, good. Does Elizabeth like public life?
She likes it very much.
And your children?
Oh, well, there's only Sylvia. And she's at Oxford.
Yes. Yes. She's a nice little girl. I remember her. I wanted to tell you this, Geoffrey. If the Umlander business goes well, I want to reconstruct the government. You know, give some of the younger men a lift.
What did you have in mind, sir?
I'm thinking... I'm thinking of sending Ormston to the Lords.
Ormston? Gerald?
Yes. I feel uneasy with him at my elbow. For the last 10 years, he's done nothing but wait for the current Prime Minister to die. He was like a Telfer. Makes me uneasy. It unsettles the cabinet. The remedy is elevation.
He won't like it, you know. I doubt if he'll accept.
We'll see. I shall give it a month. Oh, by the way, do you know the portrait of my ancestor, Sir John Copeland, in the salon?
Yes, I do.
After he was Speaker of the House of Commons in the 18th century, he didn't get a pension. He got all the silver in the official residence. Yes. Come down to me. 240 pieces.
Splendid.
It is splendid. And when I'm better, I wish to make use of it and give a great dinner party.
I hope to be invited.
Yes, well, of course you will be. You will be. Mind you, you know, you have an important handicap as a politician.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Sometimes watched you with your friends. They talk to you, and you stand there with a distant look as if the one you can talk to hasn't arrived. They think you're arrogant.
Sorry. It isn't my intention.
Well, in politics, it's not enough to have a private language. You must communicate.
I'm not sure that I agree with you, sir. The hell of politics is this reduction of everything to a sort of average truth.
Yeah.
Something that one can squeeze into a slogan, something to market at election time. I can't think of party resolutions as divine revelations.
I certainly can't myself. But you've got to be careful. Average people need average truth. And if you appear to have a private line to God, they won't like it. Just be careful, Geoffrey.
All right. I'll be careful.
Good evening, Minister.
Ah, hello, Francis.
Hoping I'd see you. Anything to report?
Well, one or two things. Will you be going to your room?
In a minute or two, yes. How's the division gone?
Not too uncomfortable. We're 22 up.
Ah, like what we thought, then. Let's see if the taxpayers a million or two.
Yeah, let's hope they appreciate it.
They never do. Oh, is that the evening paper?
Yes.
You sound doubtful.
Well, you haven't seen it.
I've only just got back from Checkers. No, I thought I'd pinch your copy.
Well, there's something in it.
Something in it?
Yes, sir. It's about a dinner.
The Umlander dinner?
Yes. Well, not exactly. It's about your daughter.
Francis, I think you're trying to be tactful. May I see it, please?
Yeah, it's here. In Philip Anderson's column. Brothers Under the Skin.
Brothers Under the Skin. Miss Sylvia Melville, 22 years old, with the Secretary of State, having a busy time at Oxford as Secretary of the New Commonwealth Society, Joint Secretary, and her constant companion is William Acabo, son of Justice Jonah Acabo. But romance is discounted. Why? Because at Lancaster House, the minister was here to add to his splendid peroration, "I want the African to be my brother." The comment, but not my son-in-law. Oh, Francis, not very pleasant.
No, it's unspeakable, sir.
Yes, but not unprintable, it would seem. When did it come out, this afternoon?
No, it was in the first edition this morning.
I see. Very quick work.
It isn't, I mean, it's not...
It must be true. It was in the papers. Is that your view?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Now, try and telling that to the great British public.
Well, Geoffrey, I suppose it might have been worse.
What?
We'll have to do something about it.
Good evening, Mr. Forbes.
Good evening, Waters. Are you free for a moment, Geoffrey?
Look, there's a telephone call I rather want to make.
Oh, well...
Oh, I should have told you, sir. Your wife's waiting for you in the central lobby.
Oh, who is she? Look, Francis, would you have a word with her and say that I don't think I'll be able to make it now. I'll be back home a bit later on.
Yes, of course.
Walk along to the telephone with me, Howard.
Fine.
So, you think something has to be done?
Well, just look at tonight's vote. With a nominal majority of 36, tonight it was down to 20.
Oh, that's what's worrying you.
But isn't it worrying?
Yes, I suppose it is. What's your answer to it?
Leadership.
In what way?
In every way. We're just not getting it.
And what do you think we ought to do about it?
You tell me.
I'm not complaining about the leadership.
Well, I don't think we can go on like this. The PM will still be a sick man when he gets back.
I don't think so. I saw him today. He looked fine.
Well, that was maybe. But it can't go on, you know. I'm sorry for poor old Collard, but it can't go on. They're losing support all over the country. There's just no leadership.
I don't think it's like that. We've 2 years to go. Look, you'll have to excuse me.
Just a minute, Geoffrey. I want to put something to you.
What?
I want to put it to you, Geoffrey, that the PM should be asked to stand down and you yourself...
No, no. I don't want to hear it, old chap. It's not on. Anyway, what about Ormston?
Never mind about Ormston. A few of us have been...
It's the wrong time. Sorry.
Sir, excuse me, sir.
Well, you know best, Geoffrey. I'll be off.
Bye, old chap.
I saw your wife, sir. She quite understands and sends you her love.
Oh, bless her. Has she seen the paper?
Yes, so she's not taking it seriously at all, though I think she's a bit concerned about how your daughter will react.
Yes, so am I.
Something else has come up, though, I'm afraid.
What?
This, a telegram.
Who's it from?
It's from Sir Rupert in Kadawa.
Read it.
Mr. M'lander asked me to see him today in a request for an explanation of remarks attributed to Secretary of State at Lancaster House following dinner. He has taken deep offence.
And taken it remarkably quickly, it seems.
Yes. Teleprinters have been working hard, I should think.
Yes. Well, tell the office to send a message back to the governor. Statement attributed to Secretary of State is a journalistic fabrication which he deplores. How's that?
Oh, excellent.
As we'll see that it goes at once.
Yeah, right, sir. I will.
Now for Julia.
Hello?
Julia.
Who is it?
It's Geoffrey.
Oh, Geoffrey. How very nice of you. I see you were at Collard's today.
Yes.
I hope you're going to tell me all about it.
Of course.
Well, that's wonderful.
Can I come and see you, Julia?
I'd love you to. Now, why not come to lunch next Wednesday?
I can't manage Wednesday. In fact, I want to see you tonight, Julia. There's something I have to clear up. It affects you.
Me?
Yes. May I call on you just for a few minutes?
Well, of course you can.
Splendid.
Well, don't be too long, then. And if you're very good, I might even offer you a drink.
You're just in time for the topping up. What'll you have? It's an unfashionable hour, but I'm taking dry martinis. The modern form of secret drinking, as Edward's TV ads would say.
I'd like a small whiskey.
Well, fix it yourself. I'm tired. And I'm feeling inhospitable. Oh, God, why does one go on living?
Oh, it's a habit.
A disgusting habit. Oh, how I hate you damned politician.
Yates being unkind to you?
Unkind and cruel. He shouldn't be deputy leader of the opposition. He ought to be minister of sadism. Oh, Sam, it's very hard when everything in your life is public, including your private life.
He never could keep a secret.
What on earth do you mean?
Nothing. Except that your friendship is much discussed.
Oh, there's nothing to discuss anymore. Nothing at all. I wish there were.
Why don't you chuck it?
I don't know. You can decide you don't want somebody for this reason or that, and if they do this or that, you'll drop them. But then they do all those things, and you still want them.
Do you? I wonder. I don't think one could ever want them in the same way.
I could. Lord knows why. Be Being put to the test, I suppose it's called.
I suppose so. I wouldn't like to be tested, though.
Maybe you have and didn't know it.
What?
Oh, nothing. How charming Elizabeth looked last night. She's exactly the right face and figure to set off her handsome husband.
Elizabeth believes MPs' wives should be seen and not heard.
I'd hardly have thought so. She ought to pipe down a bit.
What do you mean?
I mean that Elizabeth is a compulsive talker. She was very objectionable to Forbes the other evening about my husband. The only person who can be rude about my husband is me.
I'm sure she wouldn't have said anything deliberately offensive. You know Elizabeth.
Yes. Well, never mind. It's all unimportant. What did you want to ask me, Geoffrey?
Julia, it's a small matter, but important in its way.
Oh?
Have you seen the evening papers?
Yes, I've read them from cover to cover. I'm like Elizabeth, compulsive. Only I'm a compulsive reader. Why?
You saw the piece about Sylvia and myself.
Yes, I thought it very amusing. You're not wanting an African son-in-law. Is Sylvia thinking of marrying the boy?
Look, please be serious. What appeared in the paper is a garbled report of something I must have said. I've forgotten exactly what. At any rate, some flippancy or other. I don't know how they got hold of it. Perhaps you do. But however they did, it can lead to a lot of trouble, and I want you to know that I'm going to deny it.
That's got nothing to do with me. I don't know why you're bothering me with it.
I just wanted you to know the position.
The position? I know the position. You want me to forget you said I want the African to be my brother, not my brother-in-law.
It'd be easier if we were all to forget it.
I'll forget it, then.
Thank you, Julia. Wonderful. And no more tattle to Yates, hmm?
What do you mean? How dare you talk to me like that?
Oh, come, Julia. I was only being flippant.
Flippant? Flippant? So that's what you call it?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That's all you're damned well capable of, being flippant.
Julia!
Why do you damn well think you can come here to my house and insult me? How dare you speak to me like that?
I'm sorry. If you feel like that, I'd better go. I sometimes think that you ought to control...
Control? Don't you start lecturing me. Look after your own innocent little wife.
Elizabeth? What has Elizabeth got to do with this?
No, nothing. Of course. Nothing at all. You'd better go, Geoffrey. It's late. And I'm tired.
Well played.
Oh, first class. Out of the book. I haven't got a six like that for many a year. It certainly made our score look a little healthier.
Yes, I must say, a good six like that does more for morale than a dozen singles.
Yeah. Well, you'll be lucky if you see one single from me, Howard, if I have to go in.
Hmm?
Stonewall Benson. That's
me. Nonsense, Raymond. You had a nice, solid little innings the last time you were playing. Trust Alf Yates to give us a six, though. Exhibitionism as usual.
Well, I don't mind a bit of exhibitionism in cricket.
As long as you don't get it in debates.
Exactly.
The trouble with Yates is he's unpredictable.
He's in the house.
We're at the wicket. What are the chances he'll be out this ball?
How's that?
By heavens, he is.
Good Lord.
Somebody would get their mouth shut, Howard.
Guilty. Well, I think I know what really put him off.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Julia Drayford.
What?
Hmm? See? Just come round past the nets.
Oh, yes. Yes. Not to put anyone off their stroke.
Alf Yates in particular.
Oh, a bad luck, old chap. A dicey one.
He's a tricky lad, that bowler of theirs. Just like a lawyer to send you a ball like that.
Oh, I don't know. I should have seen it.
Still, you've narrowed the gap, Alf. Only 24 needed now.
A lovely six, Alf. Lovely.
Yeah, not bad, was it? Choke me, my sweater, Howard.
Here.
Thanks.
Mr. Yates, dressing in public. That's not very seemly.
Ah. Good afternoon, Mrs. Drayford.
Good afternoon.
Oh, isn't it wonderful weather?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win, Mr. Forbes?
Well, the Law Society have to stop us making another 24. Mm. I wouldn't like to say.
24? That's almost as bad as your majority last night, Howard.
Now, gentlemen.
I'm not saying a word, Mrs. Drayford.
Looks as if I better get my pads on. I'll see you later, perhaps.
Yes, maybe.
I'll come with you. Excuse me, Mrs. Drayford.
Goodbye. Well?
You timed your entrance perfectly, as usual.
Of course.
I never thought you were on our side.
I didn't want you to spend the rest of the day hitting a harmless ball. I wanted to have one lovely slog and then come back to me.
And the typical woman.
Anyway, I have to talk to you. It's very important.
Huh?
He came to see me last night.
Who came to see you?
Geoffrey Melville.
What happened?
Nothing.
What did he want?
He asked me to forget what he said at Lancaster House.
And did you?
No. He annoyed me.
What did he do?
He didn't do anything. He mentioned you.
Yeah, and what did you say?
Well, I told him he was being insulting.
And then?
He left. Are you angry with him?
I'm not sure.
Oh, don't be, please. When are you coming to see me again?
I can't at the moment. Look, Elsa's in London and it really is impossible.
Elsa.
Yes, Elsa. Good Lord, she hardly ever has the chance of a break. When she does,
And what about me? How do you expect me to go on like this, meeting in public? Pretending as if we knew each other or meeting in Singapore private in some damn picture gallery.
Julia.
I'm sure that man Anderson knows every move
you
make.
Julia, I am not going to talk about that now, not here.
Well, where then? You used to find the time.
Yeah, and we will again, soon. We will. Just don't worry.
Fine.
Yes.
You know what I told you about Melville is the absolute truth.
Why'd you say that?
Because every woman who lies to one man must seem a potential liar to someone else.
Yes.
I've never lied to you.
You will, when necessary.
I never will.
Mr. Yates?
Damn. Yes?
Oh, excuse me, sir, but you're wanted on the telephone.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm sorry, sir, but they say it's very urgent.
Well, who is it?
Mr. Newman, sir.
Ah, oh, well, yes, I'd better come. Would you excuse me, Mrs. Rayford?
Of course.
You haven't seen Mr. Melville by any chance, have you, sir?
No, he hasn't been here at all today. Why?
I just wondered, sir. His office has been trying to get hold of him, too.
You know, Daddy, I've always wanted you to take me to the zoo, and I've had to wait almost 22 years.
Are you 22 next week? I always forget.
I certainly will be.
Oh, Sylvia, you astound me.
Daddy, you are an idiot.
How's Oxford this term?
Oh, it's lovely. I'm going to hate going down. Daddy?
Hmm?
Would you mind very much if I stayed on another year and did a diploma in sociology?
Why? Wouldn't it be better to go to the Sorbonne for a year?
Well, I want to aim for a job where I could do social work of some kind.
Huh. Where?
I think I'd like to go abroad. Africa, perhaps.
Why don't you do your sociology in London?
It would be nice if you used your room a bit more.
Oh, Daddy, I can't really explain. I simply feel stifled at home.
Oh? Why?
It's not because of you.
Well, who then? Your mother is terribly unhappy when you're away.
Is she?
Of course she is. She'd really like you to come home for your birthday next week.
I don't really like my birthday anymore.
Oh, stuff. That's when you're my age, not 22.
No. It's not that. It was on my 14th. That telegram.
Telegram?
About the car crash and Uncle Robert.
No. That wasn't the best of birthday presents. But you mustn't go on thinking about that.
No, I mustn't. Were you very attached to your brother, Daddy?
Yes. But, darling, it's a long time ago. Why do you want to talk about it on this lovely day?
He came to live with us for as long as I can remember. Why was that?
Oh, he came out of the army and couldn't make a go of things, so we helped him.
He was always so gay and very sweet to me.
Yes. Poor Robert. Oh, look, enough of that. Tell me, how's your new Commonwealth group going?
Awfully well. Not that we've been helped by that idiotic newspaper.
No.
You couldn't possibly have said anything as moronic as that, could you, Daddy?
I could have.
But I didn't.
Well, I can never tell with you. Anything for a laugh. All politicians are the same.
Look, we won't talk about politics. Not now. I've got to be back in an hour or so. Time enough, then. Let me enjoy you.
All right.
So you're set on staying on at Oxford for your sociology course?
I think so, yes. Oh, and I know what I wanted to ask you.
Hmm?
My GCE certificate.
Yes.
I need it rather badly. Unless I have it, I can't be admitted to the diploma course.
Ah. Where is it?
Well, I think it's in the scrap room at the top, with all my old books and stuff, you know. It's probably in one of those cardboard boxes.
You'd like me to run it to earth?
Mm, if you could. You'll get awfully dusty finding it, though.
Well, all in a good cause, I hope.
A jolly good cause.
You've convinced me.
Good.
Shall we go and have tea? Mm.
I wish we didn't have to go back so soon. As long as I can remember, you've always been going away somewhere. Or saying goodbye when I was being packed off somewhere.
Well, now's your chance to see a bit more of us.
Yes. But now I don't need you in the same way. I used to feel it dreadfully. But now it's not so bad.
I think your mother still feels it.
Does she? She was always so busy. Always preoccupied with some terribly important outside work. Always busy just being your wife, somehow.
Well, you probably didn't realize how much she had to plan things when you were growing up. Looking after the house, helping in the constituency, committee work.
Oh, I know. The perfect MP's wife. Rushing and running from one thing to another.
Don't misjudge her. She had a lot to do in those days.
Yes. Mother had a lot to do. I suppose she still has, in a way.
Oh, hello, Howard. Did you get a message, Jeffrey?
Oh, what message?
Ormston asked me to tell you. He'd be grateful if you'd have a word with him.
Oh, well, I'll look in a moment.
Gather it's fairly urgent.
Oh, no peace. Man can't even take his daughter to the zoo these days without a general alarm. Anyway, thank you.
Yes, thanks very much for looking in. Sorry to bother you.
That's all right.
Now, do sit down.
Thank you.
We've been trying to get you the whole afternoon. Perhaps your people could manage to be in closer touch.
I think my departmental arrangements are quite adequate.
Oh, my dear fellow, I don't wish to interfere. It's just that you've seen the afternoon's telegrams, of course.
No, I don't usually see them till the evening.
Oh.
No. Why?
I think in a matter of urgency at
once. Well, naturally, I see the urgent telegrams at once.
Yes, of course. Well, let's not dwell on it now. There's been trouble at Kadawa. It's on the tape already.
There's always trouble at Kadawa.
Ledbury tells me that this has been rather more serious.
Do you mean my parliamentary secretary has been in touch with you before seeing me?
I'm sorry, Geoffrey, they couldn't find you. You really ought to let your department know about your movements.
But this is quite...
Well, never mind. The point is that there's been what sounds like a pretty ghastly mess just outside Kadawa. The governor's car was attacked after a protest meeting of Mlanda's Freedom Party. The troops escorting the governor had to open fire, and 36 Africans were killed.
36 killed?
Yes.
I'd better see the telegrams.
Yes, I'm afraid there's more to it than just that.
Just that?
Oh, you know what I mean. There were other riots apart from that particular one. Lady Benning was opening the Cunningham Child Welfare Centre 10 miles away. She was made to get out of her car, and they made her kiss the feet of some of the rioters.
Well, that I'll take with a very big pinch of salt.
Well, we'll see. The main point is that Yates has put down a private notice question for tomorrow, which you'll have to answer.
Of course. How did all this begin?
No one quite knows. Except that you've been widely quoted. Well, I don't know if quoted is really right. At any rate, you've been quoted as saying something about not wanting a black man in the family. And it all began with the Freedom Party organizing a protest march.
That's quite outrageous, Gerald. The damn gossip writers are murderers.
Well, you can't help it. All you can do tomorrow is say how sorry you are, repudiate what's been attributed to you, and look forward to a growing association with Mlanda.
Yes, I suppose it's all one can do. At any rate, thank you.
I will, of course, back you up.
I take that for granted. Well, I'd better be off.
How did you find the Prime Minister, by the way?
Oh, I think he'll be all right.
I do, Rennie. It's very difficult, these long absences. We miss the prestige that accumulates around a leader.
It takes a long time to create prestige.
Oh, I'm not so sure. It's the job that elevates the man.
Possibly. Still, it won't be long before Andrew's back again. See you at question time tomorrow, then, Gerald.
Right.
Oh, mister, a message came through from your wife. She wanted to know if you'd be dining at home tonight.
Oh,
She said if you weren't, she'd probably be going out.
Well, it doesn't look as if I will be back now. I'd better give her a ring.
Would you like me to telephone?
Oh, that's very kind of you. But I don't want to...
Oh, it's no trouble.
Well, I shall be working late at the ministry. Could you tell her that?
Of course.
Did she say where she would be going?
No, she didn't mention.
I see. Well, thank you very much. That'll be a great help.
Not at all. Good night, sir.
Good night.
And now a look at today's papers. The front pages in nearly every case are given over to the tragic events of yesterday in Kadawa. When British troops opened fire on rioters of the Freedom Party. But are pictures of this incident, as well as others up and down the country, and confirmation of reports that Mr. Mlander had repudiated the constitutional agreement drafted in London earlier this week. The minister concerned, Mr. Geoffrey Melville, comes under fire in most papers, though, as the Times points out in its first leader, it would be unwise to prejudice the issue until the minister has replied to the opposition's questions in the House this afternoon. One front page that doesn't concern itself with Kadala is that of the Daily Mirror, which, under the
good
headline...
the Mirror.
It's got to
Do you
stop,
want any more?
Shows a picture...
No, I'd better get to work. I had a pretty full morning.
Yes, and you'll be having a tricky afternoon, I suppose.
I expect Yates will try to make it tricky.
The whole thing seems quite fantastic.
Well, would be if we were left to judge it. Perhaps from Mlander's point of view, it looks a little different.
But all you both worked for, he can't just want to let it fizzle out just because of some stupid newspaper item.
As far as I'm concerned, the new constitution was really big. Bigger than a paragraph in a fifth-rate gossip column. Mlander obviously doesn't agree.
Darling, you didn't say anything like that, did you?
I've told you I didn't.
Oh, of course you didn't.
What were you up to last night, by the way?
Up to?
Yes, I gather you were dining out.
Oh, I see. Yes, I had dinner with Geoffrey Broom.
Yeah.
He was at Lady Peel Bounds earlier on. He had a sudden call from Great Ormond Street and didn't have his car, so I drove him there.
And you waited?
Well, it wasn't very long. And then he suggested if you were tied up at all, we might have dinner.
Oh, good idea.
He's very sweet, really.
Yes, nice chap.
Well, I must get ready to go out. I'll be in the gallery this afternoon for questions.
Wonderful.
I'll call round at your room when you're through, shall I?
Oh, fine. Got something on this morning, have you?
Yes, there's a planning meeting. We have a full meeting next week, and we've got to sort the agenda out.
Mm. Then you'll be wearing a petalled hat.
What do you mean?
You always wear a petalled hat when you go to one of your meetings.
Do I? Good heavens.
Well, don't worry. They're not grounds for divorce yet.
Oh, you're a beastly man.
Oh, an absolute rotter, I agree.
How was your daughter yesterday?
Oh, very well. She wants to stay on and do a sociology course.
Oh, quite the blue stocking.
Oh, she seems very keen on the idea. Ooh. I've got to dig out her GCE certificate before I go to the office. It's somewhere in the attic. I'd better go up there straight away. It'll probably take me half the morning.
But it is not the case that in certain areas of Scotland there has been a distinct falling off of the birth rate concomitant with the development of caponization.
That is a different question of which I'd like notice. If my honourable and gallant friend would like to see me in my room later on, I'll endeavour to give him every satisfaction.
Oh, we must get the
I see it's going to be one of those afternoons.
Oh, hello, John. Yes, I'm afraid so. Where were you at lunch?
Couldn't make it. I was hauled in to do a piece on Kadawa for the 1 o'clock news.
Ah, so you lunched in the BBC canteen?
I did indeed.
I thought envious thoughts of you while tackling my fried place with sauce tartare. How's Fleet Street?
All right. Just. Well, as a representative of the BBC, what's your view of Kadawa?
As representative of the BBC, I'm glad to say I can't have views on anything. Especially when I'm speaking to the notorious Philip Anderson.
Thank you, John Merritt.
I just don't know, Philip. It all depends on the way Melville handles Yeats's question.
Yes, handles being a subtler word than answers.
One could say that.
Well, from what I know, things there's only one answer to Yeats's question. I know damn well Melville won't give it.
Here's Melville now, by the way. Just come in.
Talk of the devil. Hey, John, he doesn't look too good.
No, he doesn't. You're right.
A very pale Mr. Melville indeed.
Quite unlike him. Pretty bronzed and fit, generally.
Some lamp type, I suspect. Certainly seems under the weather today.
Alf Yeats is rearing to go.
Where?
Talking to Newman there.
Oh, yes.
This looks like it.
Yes. Here we go.
Mr. Yeats, private notice to rest. I wish to ask the Secretary of State for Colonial and Commonwealth Affairs a question of which I have given him private notice, to ask whether he has any statement to make on the situation in Kadawa.
I am grateful to the Right Honourable Gentleman for giving me the opportunity to clarify the recent unfortunate events in Kadawa. Briefly, the situation as we know it is that the Governor, Sir Rupert Benning, while leaving Government House in his car yesterday, was attacked by a group of armed rioters identified as members of the Kadawa Freedom Party. They were warned by the commander of the governor's escort party to disperse. This warning went unheeded, and a stone was thrown at one of the car windows. After further warnings, shots were fired over the heads of the rioters. A shot then came from the crowd, injuring a member of the escort party. The escort commander was then forced to disperse the crowd with rifle fire aimed at selected targets. As a result of this action, 36 Africans were killed. Our own casualties were 2 dead and 3 wounded. I'm sure the House will join me in extending our deepest sympathy to the relatives and dependents of those involved. Since these events, we have learned that further riots have developed in other parts of the country, but I can inform the House that these are well under control. No one regrets more than myself these events, occurring as they have done at a time of great promise. I can assure the House that the government is gravely exercised by them and is keeping the very closest watch on the situation.
We are obliged to the Right Honourable Gentleman and can assure him that we too will be watching the situation with the closest attention and also some anxiety. But there is one small matter which ought to be cleared up. It has been stated by Mr. Umlander that a somewhat indelicate observation by a somewhat, if I may use the term, racialist observation was a precipitating cause of the outbreak. Now, would the Right Honourable Gentleman confirm that the remarks attributed to him have no substance? Perhaps the Right Honourable Gentleman would like to put it differently. Is he aware that his offensive reference to Africans at the conclusion of a dinner given by Her Majesty's government in honor of an especially distinguished African resulted in an outbreak of violence at Kadawa for which the Right Honourable Gentleman must accept personal responsibility?
The gentleman has been listening to the grubbier rumors of Fleet Street. The one which he has reported to the House has no basis in fact.
But, Mr. Speaker, sir, it isn't not the fact that the Right Honourable Gentleman did state at Lancaster House that while he was ready to accept the African as his brother, he didn't want him as his mother-in-law.
On the point of order, sir, Minister, abdicating somewhat from his usual courtesy, has refused to answer a question to which we really do want a reply. Indeed not! He obliges me to put into words a question I would have preferred him to deny unasked. Would he tell the House, whether or no he said at Lancaster House, I want the African to be my brother, and then, in an audible aside, added the words, but not my brother-in-law. Now, I put that question to him. Will he answer it?
Answer!
It is not my practice to deny imputations made by the honorable gentleman opposite. They would keep me far too busy. In this case, however, since the right honorable gentleman has assumed, with much enthusiasm, I observe, the role of a scavenger of rumors, I think it not unfitting to tell him that even in that humble role he has met with no success. My reply to his question is no, sir.
First class, sir. Settle well and truly.
For the moment, perhaps, Francis.
I'm sorry, sir, but I thought for a moment you weren't looking too fit when you came to the box. Are you all right?
I'm quite all right, Francis. I want to put a call through to my daughter at college.
Yeah, I'll try it straight away.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't think I need to speak to her. I'll leave it.
Oh.
I know. Just give her a ring yourself, will you?
Yes, of course.
Good.
What shall I say?
What?
What would you like me to tell your daughter?
Oh, I see. Just say that I found the certificate she was after, and would she like us to post it to her?
Right. Good afternoon, Mrs. Melville.
Hello, Francis. Geoffrey, you were splendid, darling.
I'll just go and see to that call, sir.
Thank you, Francis.
It really went splendidly. You got a marvellous reception at the end. It was very exciting, the whole thing.
You slut.
Geoffrey.
You damned little slut.
Darling, what are you saying? Geoffrey, you're ill. What is it, darling? What's wrong?
I'm not ill, and for God's sake, don't call me darling.
Geoffrey, I don't know what you called me.
I called you a slut.
Well, what in heaven's name is all this about?
This.
What?
This. Read it.
What is it?
The diary of Sylvia's. When she was 14, read it. I found it this morning when I was looking in the attic. Go on, read it.
I will not read it.
Very well, then, I will.
I don't want to hear it.
I knew it was no use getting home too early, as was going to be out for tea, and Solange had the afternoon off,
Geoffrey.
And I hadn't got a key. But I know the way in over that buttress that goes up to my window, so when I got back, I was able to get into my room. After a while, my heart gave an awful jump because I heard a dreadful groaning sound, so I went out onto the landing. I felt rather frightened, and I thought I'd dial 999. But then I found the noise was coming from the bedroom at the end, and I'd have to go by it.
Geoffrey,
so I crept past, and then I saw the door was open halfway, and I stopped. Her hair was hanging down over the edge of the bed. She seemed to be breathing very quickly. There was something else there, too, a shape. I couldn't quite see because the curtains were drawn. Then I heard her say, "Darling, darling." And suddenly a face looked up and looked straight at me. It was Uncle Robert, and I screamed. I went to my room and cried. I just couldn't stop. After a bit, Uncle Robert came in and sat with me. He said I must never tell anyone, not even Daddy, as it would make him very unhappy. And that when I was older, I would understand. I swore on my prayer book I would never tell a living soul.
Very unattractive. But it's hardly surprising. It was impossible to keep a foreign maid with your brother in the house. But it explains why Solange left so suddenly, though. I am not a slut, Geoffrey. Please don't call me that again.
What a marvellous summer. What more could a poor MP ask for than tea on the terrace served by the Mother of Parliament?
An old father tends to jump in when it's all too much for him.
We ought to put a sign up by the visitor's entrance. It's cooler inside.
Like the cinemas do.
Yes.
I think they'd get better performances in the cinema.
Oh, I don't know. You think of last week. Geoffrey Melville and Alfred Yates in...
Guns at Kadawa.
Yes, it's excellent.
With Julia Draper.
And cast of thousands.
The backbenchers, of course.
Who else? Much cheaper than extras.
Oh, well, when you think of it, I suppose the public get their money's worth. They should tomorrow, anyway.
The Africa debate?
Yes.
I wouldn't like to say what'll happen. Yates has certainly been stirring things up.
He's sold lock, stock and barrel to his colonial affairs group. That's his trouble. Yeah. And they're mostly fellow travellers. That amendment of his amounts virtually to a vote of no confidence.
With 8 members on the sick list, our nominal majority isn't what you'd call impressive.
It isn't by any means. We've got to have a full vote.
We need a full vote, but whether we'll get it, I'm not so sure.
You don't seriously think Gorslock will abstain, do you?
Well, you were at the committee meeting. You heard what he said.
Hot air.
No, I don't think so. There are plenty like Gore who are feeling really let down about this business, especially over the motion at the United Nations. I mean, massacre is an ugly word. It sounds worse, too, when it's being applied to you as the country responsible.
But that's quite ridiculous. You can't call quelling a riot a massacre.
No, I suppose not. But it isn't as if it was just one riot. I mean, they've spread all over the country. More than 100 Africans dead now, and 12 Europeans. Perhaps bloodbath is a better word.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's got to be faced. What Mlanda thinks back in Umbala jail again, I shudder to think.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Don't get me wrong. You'll see me in the government lobbies tomorrow, all right? Whatever's happened, whatever's been said, I think we are the people to put it right. And I'm sure that Melville was the man to do it.
Provided he pulls himself together. He's been looking very strained these last few days.
Yes, I was thinking that. But at any rate, if you see things from Gore's point of view, well, what do you see? Melville working for one thing and saying another. Yates as champion of oppressed Africa. And Ormston... Ormston waiting on the touchline.
Oh, don't mention Ormston, for pity's sake.
All right, don't mention Ormston. But I have a terrible feeling that waiting game of his is going to pay off.
Now, one thing I will say for him, he settled Gore's hash pretty well in committee.
I had a different impression. I rather thought he was goading him.
What? To abstain?
Yeah. That's what I felt. There's nothing he likes more than to frighten the party. That's the first step. Then he likes to come along and kiss it better.
Well, we'll know the worst tomorrow night. Oh, come on. I'll buy you a Chelsea bun.
That's a touching gesture. Okay.
Hello, Mr. Forbes.
Ah, it's the Melville.
Hello, Hard.
Now, that's the sort of domestic scene that gives MPs a good name. Wife on one arm, daughter on the other. How are you, Elizabeth?
Very well, Hard.
And Sylvia? You've grown.
Well, so I should have. The last time you saw me, I was 12.
Was it as long ago as that? Good heavens. Oh, this is Raymond Benson, Sylvia Melville.
How do you do? You're up at Oxford, aren't you?
Yes.
She shouldn't be here at all this afternoon, Raymond. I think she just comes for the tea.
Oh, Daddy, you're wicked.
Yeah, I quite understand. In fact, we're on our way to the Marquis ourselves.
Only because I'm paying.
Yeah, well, really.
Oh, see you later, perhaps.
Yes, cheerio.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now, what are our plans?
Do tell Mother that I positively won't go to this tea party of hers.
Why not? The National Association is a very worthwhile body.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But I can't stand women's tea parties. And I'm not really dressed suitably. I haven't got a funny hat.
I think you look absolutely adorable. Gingham's very fashionable, isn't it?
It was 3 years ago. I happen to like gingham. Why don't you wear stockings?
Because I happen to dislike stockings.
Oh, well, why don't we all go together? I'll hang on to Sylvia and get some credit by association.
Well, not with our ladies. They've just moved a resolution deploring young people. Yeah. And incidentally approving of you, Geoffrey.
Oh, good. It's nice to feel wanted by somebody at the moment.
Well, I'll see you this evening, then. I must go now. I have to help draft a resolution.
You won't stay with us for a bit?
No, darling. I think you'll do better with Sylvia alone. Bye.
I'll see you around 7.
Right.
Why are you smiling like that?
Why? Because she's funny. She finds it hard just to be polite to me.
Oh, nonsense.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
But it should matter. If you believe that, it should matter.
I suppose it should. But with Mother, it doesn't. I don't imagine she ever thinks of me at all when I'm not around. I certainly don't think of her very often. When we do meet, it's... what's your political word? Coexistence.
Well, that sounds very depressing.
Perhaps it does. I'm sure a lot of people do just coexist, though.
Rather cynical philosophy.
I don't know. Stops one getting romantic about everything.
Oh, we all need a little romance.
Possibly.
Were you ever in love as a young girl, Sylvia?
I was always in love as a little girl.
What, with the boys in schoolhouse?
Oh, no. It was always someone much older. Mr. Osborne, the riding teacher. Mm-hmm. Lipinski.
Lipinski?
Yes, the violinist.
Oh.
I simply adored him for a whole week.
I'd never have guessed. Who else?
I think you're jealous, Daddy.
Of course I am. Who else?
Well, there were all the ski instructors. And Marjorie's father, who was in the Navy.
Anyone else?
No, I think that's the lot.
What about Uncle Robert?
Uncle Robert?
Yes. What about Uncle Robert?
Oh, Uncle Robert was different.
Do you remember a housemaid we once had, a Swiss girl, called Solange?
Yes, of course I do.
What did you think of her?
Why do you ask?
No, I have a special reason.
Well, I know I couldn't stand her. She's always talking about God and hellfire. Why do you want to know?
I've always had her on my conscience. She was very young, and I sometimes wondered if there was anything going on.
Solange?
Yes, Solange and Uncle Robert. She left suddenly, you may remember.
Oh,
Sylvia.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Daddy, but it was so funny. Solange was the most terrible prude. I don't think she and Uncle Robert can ever have said more than a couple of words to each other. Daddy, dear, is anything the matter?
No, darling. No, nothing's the matter. It's been a worrying day.
You're sure?
Yes, there's nothing the matter, Sylvia. It's all right. I just want you to be happy, darling.
What? Jeffrey?
Were you expecting someone else?
It was so late. I thought you were coming home to dinner.
I had dinner out.
Oh. You must be tired.
I am, Arthur.
Sylvia's gone back, has she?
Yes.
Would you like me to get you a hot drink?
Well, I haven't said... No, it's all right. I don't need anything.
Well, you must get some sleep tonight. You've been sleeping terribly badly.
Yes.
You'll be glad when the debate's over, won't you?
I'll be glad when it's all over. Emergency orders, removal orders, telegrams, instructions, the whole damn lot.
Oh, I know. Well, don't think about them. Don't worry about them. Get some sleep tonight, We'll both get some sleep.
Yes. You know what's really on my mind?
What?
Sylvia.
Sylvia? Oh, no, don't worry about her.
I ask Sylvia... about Solange.
You asked her... Jeffrey, I can't believe that.
I didn't mention the diary. I just asked about Solange.
You... So what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to get the truth.
Truth? What truth? What on earth are you talking about?
I'm trying to get the truth about you and...
Me and who? Who are you talking about?
All of them. The whole damned lot. Roberts and Broome, Waters maybe. How do I know? Every one of them hanging round, smiling, bowing and scraping, opening doors. How do I know what you're doing?
I am not doing with them. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you're accusing me all the time. What are you accusing me of? What am I supposed to have done?
I don't know what I'm accusing you of. I don't want to know. I'm afraid to know.
Oh, God. I think you're losing your reason. You're quite mad.
Who was it? It wasn't Solange who was with Robert that day. Who was it?
What do you mean?
In Sylvia's diary. It wasn't Solange.
I wonder what Ormston would say if he knew you read Little Girl's Diary.
It wasn't Solange. Who was it, Elizabeth?
You are mad. You are either ill or mad.
I want to know.
Are you suggesting that...
I want to know if you and Robert...
I can't bear it. I can't bear it. If you say that again, I'll kill myself. It is vile, vile.
I've got to know. I've got to know.
Vile, vile. Don't touch me.
Elizabeth. Don't touch me. My appetite, Geoffrey, is slow in returning. They give me gigantic banquets, but I can't eat them. Oh, yes, my doctors forbid me nothing except locomotion. Eat what you like. Drink what you like. Almost the regime of a condemned man, don't you think?
Well, it seems to be doing you good. You haven't looked so fit since your operation.
Oh, yes, well, it would be pleasant to believe you are still... Never mind. Oh, would you, by the way, thank Elizabeth for the lovely flowers she sent me? They were quite wonderful.
Yes, I will.
Yes, go. Now, tell me about it.
There's not a great deal to say, Prime Minister. I've come to ask you to accept my resignation.
Oh. May I ask why?
I've two reasons. One public, the other private. I find this difficult. I feel personally responsible, no, guilty, about Kadawa.
I see.
When Umlando was over here, the new constitution was virtually settled. I'd done what I could for it, and that was that. Then came the dinner at Lancaster House. What I said there at the end of my speech.
Said to whom?
To Julia Drayford.
Ah, and via her to Africa.
That's how it happened. A careless and odious quip to amuse an untrustworthy woman.
But you know, if you hadn't said whatever you did... Someone else would have said something or other to put Umlander in a paddy. And don't you believe that Mr. Yeats and Mr. Ormston don't know this as well as anybody else? There's a time for violence and a time for keeping quiet. And this was Umlander's time for violence.
I'd like to believe that. It would make it easier if I could, but I can't. In any case, there's more to it than that. I'm afraid I must talk to you about my personal affairs.
Yes, yes. Well, go on.
I'm going to divorce my wife.
No. No, that's quite absurd. Divorce Elizabeth, why?
I don't want to talk about it.
There's somebody to be cited.
Yes. It wouldn't be like that.
Who is he?
He's dead.
Oh. How long ago?
8, 9 years. I'd really prefer to say no more.
I seem to remember the name of Helen Langdale about that time.
That's all over.
Is it? Well, I'm glad to hear it. Yet in Elizabeth's case, where apparently things are well and truly over, it's somehow different.
I don't know. I only know how I feel. I'm going to divorce her.
Just one moment. You can't disregard your situation in the party and the government.
I'm sorry about it. It's a very unhappy accident that my personal problems coincide with the party's.
But are you going to put your personal problems before the government's interests? I had a visit from Ormston yesterday. He wanted me to get rid of you.
I've saved you the trouble. He'll be gratified.
Oh, no. He he's not going to be. I'm bound to you, Geoffrey, like a Siamese twin. Because if you go, I go. And that's not simply because I like you, but because I'm stuck with you. I've backed you on Africa, and I'm backing you against Ormston for one very good reason. Ormston as Prime Minister would be a tragedy for the country, Geoffrey, not just the party. If I go, and I can't go on much longer, the man I want is you. You're the one I'm recommending to the sovereign. You have great qualities, though at the moment you damn well can't see them. But I can. And I'm telling you, it's your duty not to throw them away.
But the Lancaster House
will be dealt with. Put it out of your mind. The Lancaster House speech may well be a smaller problem than you think. It's a mistake to imagine that we are living in an entirely Philistine age. Don't you think, Julia?
I don't know.
Some more cake?
Oh, no, thanks. I must say I'd hardly call this the age of culture.
No. Certainly not that. We live in an age of credulity, not of Philistinism. In such an atmosphere, the fraudulent thrives and prospers.
I see what you mean.
It puts a responsibility on those of us who feel they can appreciate the genuine.
Yes. As
Major... I'm so sorry. Do have some more tea.
Oh, thank you.
Do forgive me. What were you going to say?
Oh, just that I bought a small oiseau the other day.
Ah, yes. A much underrated artist.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Prime Minister, I've a feeling you're making fun of me.
No, Julia. Not fun. I want to help you.
To help me? I wasn't aware I needed help.
I think so. I think you do.
Oh.
I believe you know a fellow called Philip Anderson, journalist.
Yes, slightly. My husband knows him better than I do.
I know. Anderson has been to visit me.
And?
What I'm going to tell you, Julia, is of course strictly confidential. It's simply this. The Gladwell Press has got onto the idea. It's too far-fetched for words, but you know what they're like. That you are having improper relations with Mr. Yeats.
It's an absurd lie.
Yes, of course it is. I told Anderson that I couldn't imagine you having anything to do with a man who is probably as promiscuous and squalid in his private life as he is in his political attachments. I told Anderson I couldn't believe it.
This is a very distressing conversation. I hope you'll allow me to leave.
Please sit down. Have a little more to say. My concern is to protect you.
I have no need for protection.
Oh, yes, you have. I'm afraid you have. Gradwell, who dislikes Yeats with a...
What has that got to do with me?
With a fervor which has probably a personal origin, has been keeping a dossier of your meetings with Yeats, reinforced by photographs. All most respectable, I hasten to say, for young lovers. Less so for less young lovers. He wants to publish it all.
Beastly. How unutterably beastly.
Indeed it is. My friend Lord Gradwell is a beastly man.
Oh, I don't mind. I really don't mind for myself. I'm only sorry for him.
For Gradwell? For Yeats. Yes. Yes, it would be ugly. It would have a sad effect on his public image. Very sad. And it's a kind of political warfare I dislike. And then, of course, there's your husband.
What are you asking me to do?
That I will tell you later. But in the meantime, keep away from Yates till tonight's debate is over. Don't talk to him, even by telephone.
All right.
Good. And don't worry about Gradwell. I have spoken to him severely. He has promised me, and in these respects he is a man of honor, not to publish one word or even a snapshot of you and Yates, not without my permission.
So...
Which, naturally I withhold. Tell me, Julia. How would Edward like to be an ambassador or some such thing?
This is the hot and cold treatment.
Yes. That's it. Yes, I have an idea, which I must discuss with your husband. I think he can help me with Umlander.
In Africa?
Yes. Both of you could. You never know. In Africa, you might begin to see Mr. Yates in a different perspective.
I see. Well, if that's all for now, I think perhaps I'd better be going.
Yes, of course. But just before you do... There's something I'd like you to put in writing for me. Just to put the record straight.
Something in writing?
Yes. Just a short note. It won't take you long. There's a point I have to clear up with Yates. And I've a feeling you can help me do it.
I'd rather go for that secretary of Yates's.
Yeah. I wonder why they hug themselves when they walk.
It's cold in Westminster Hall and they get lonely.
Idiot. She appears somewhat perturbed, poor girl.
Yes, maybe she bears ill tidings.
Possibly. Well, as debates go, this one's hotting up nicely, I'd say.
Old Ormston managed to trip Newman on those casualty figures very neatly.
He did indeed. Though if that's all he can offer, I don't think it'll be enough. Wait till Yates gets on the scene.
Yes, that should be interesting.
If Yates pulls the stops out and Gore's abstainers keep clear at the division, it looks like collapse of stout party. Oh, dear. I don't think I can face another election just at the moment.
Oh, who does?
Still, I hear Melville's going.
What makes you say that?
Well, you know, Ormston went to see the PM
today. Oh, so did a lot of other people. Well?
He gave him an ultimatum. Get rid of Melville or else.
John... Would you like to bet me a small sum that Melville won't go?
A large sum, if you like. I'm making a book on it.
£2, evens?
Right you are. You lose it. I've seen Yates.
And I've seen the PM. If Melville goes, he'll go with him.
Well, maybe. Philip, I think we'd better be getting back.
Perhaps we should. You're doing something on the radio tonight, aren't you?
Yes, I'm on just after the news. We ought to know the shape of things by then.
The division took place just as we went on the air at the end of what seems to have been one of the most acrimonious few hours in the present government's history. Hours, in fact, which could lead to a change of government. John Merritt has been watching the debate for us. Merritt, what is the situation at the moment?
The result of the division has not been announced. It's expected very shortly. The division was called a few minutes ago, but it's yet to be completed.
Well, how about the abstentions? Has the rebel group been influenced at all by tonight's debate, would you say?
It was extremely hard to tell. They've remained pretty well impassive the whole of the evening, in the face of a quite remarkable turn of events. You used the word acrimonious earlier on. Mr. Newman, the leader of the opposition, accused the government of conducting a massacre at Kadawa. From this point on, as you can imagine, tempers ran very high.
Yes.
As you know, the position of the Secretary of State, Mr. Melville, has been a matter of speculation over the last few days, and Mr. Ormston, in his speech, made one very significant remark. He used the words... Whatever minister may be concerned with the future of the new state.
Implying that there may be changes.
Exactly. But in view of what happened later in the debate, one got the impression that the changes that have been announced took Mr. Ormston somewhat by surprise.
There's been an announcement.
Yes, from the Prime Minister at Chequers. It was released at the height of a very powerful speech from Mr. Yates winding up for the opposition. He had a very angry exchange with Mr. Melville, and the house broke into a general uproar. Many opposition supporters shouting, "Lancaster House!" It seemed that Mr. Yates was in fact about to remind us of the Lancaster House affair, but he didn't.
Rather surprising.
It was surprising.
Could you see any reason why he didn't mention it?
No. There was, though, an intriguing incident that occurred while Mr. Melville was replying to Mr. Yates's charges. I saw a letter being handed to Mr. Yates. He read it. It seemed to be a very brief one, and put it away in his pocket. When he continued his speech, he seemed, well, somewhat deflated.
And didn't mention Lancaster House?
No. The opposition were very puzzled by this. The fire definitely went out of his speech at this point. Then, after he'd been speaking for another 15 minutes, he was handed a note by one of the opposition whips.
He seems to have had a very disturbed evening.
He has. Now, this note obviously was a copy of the Prime Minister's announcement, which had just come through, saying that the Governor, Sir Rupert Benning, has been recalled from Kadawa on indefinite leave, that Mr. Edward Drayford has been appointed Minister of State in Africa, and that Mr. Umlanda is to be released and invited to proceed with the constitutional changes.
But this is almost exactly what the opposition were asking for.
Indeed. And as Mr. Yates was forced to convey this information to the House himself, the wind was taken completely out of his sails. I must say, he looked completely beaten. Mr. Melville then wound up for the government, a fine speech. He ended in a challenging manner with these words. "I hope this debate will go out to Africa and Mr. Umlanda as an earnest of our wish to enter into a new era of cooperation, of friendship, and of..." Here he said, "I repeat the word I used at Lancaster House, an era of brotherhood."
So it looks as though Mr. Melville's future is now a little more secure.
I'd say very secure. Now, yes. In fact, we can say also that the government itself is secure as well. I've just been handed the result of the division, and the government have defeated the opposition's motion by a majority of 28.
Which means that there were no abstentions.
No abstentions. Well, there it is. A government victory at the end of one of the most closely fought debates I've seen for many years. A victory that I suspect may well have been won far from the apparent scene of the battle.
By the Prime Minister, you would say?
I think so, yes.
Thank you very much, John Medditt. And now, from the problems of Africa to the problems of our transport system at home. The report.
Shall I switch it off now, Prime Minister?
Integration of road and rail.
Prime Minister? I'm switching it off, Prime Minister. Prime Minister, you shouldn't have stayed up as late as this. We must get you off to bed. Wake up, sir. We're getting to... No. Oh, no.
How long have you got, Jeffrey?
I should think about 5 minutes or so. Francis is coming round with the car.
I'm nervous.
Yes.
Are there a lot of officials there, or were they...
No, not many, I believe. A few, though. Equerries, lords-in-waiting, those sort of people.
Oh, yes. I still can't really take it in.
It was too sudden. But I saw something in his face.
Yes. Actually, I meant...
Oh, this you mean. Yes, this is hard to take in, too.
It's what you've always wanted.
Is it?
Of course it is.
I suppose I did once. But not like this. I didn't think it would come this way.
You mustn't think of it. He had to go sometime. He was a very sick man.
What did I call him? The only man the cabinet didn't object to. Another flippancy. There was more to Andrew Collard than that, much more.
I said it sounded like an epitaph.
Yes. We'll find a better one than that if we do nothing else.
Yes, we must. He was a very dear man.
He asked me to thank you for those flowers you sent him.
I see him remembering.
He was very fond of you.
He was fond of us both.
Yes, I suppose he was. I want to ask you something. I want you now to tell me the truth. Was it true about you and Robert?
Yes. It was true.
That once or often?
Not often.
more than once.
Why did it happen?
He was there. All the time. You left me with him. You condescended to me. I didn't want him. But he was there all the time. In our rooms. Always around the house. And then one afternoon in the summer, I was resting in bed. He brought me tea. And it began then.
You loved him?
Oh, no. Not love. It wasn't love. I loved you. Nothing changed. It wasn't love. It was an afternoon's lust.
And in the evening when I came home, you greeted me and...
Yes.
Why?
Well, I loved you. Don't you understand? I loved you.
When did it end?
When he killed himself.
Killed himself?
Yes. You never realized about the car crash. He got himself killed.
And the others?
There were no others. None.
Come in.
The car's ready, Prime Minister.
You're premature, Francis.
Well, we haven't got all that much time. Oh, yeah, I see. Well, nearly, sir, surely.
Nearly, I suppose, yes. Those people outside, they're waiting for us?
Yes.
That means the press have got it.
It's in the latest edition.
Where would we be without the press? Right, Francis, you go on. We'll be out directly.
Right, sir.
Geoffrey, forgive me, please.
No. I'll never forgive you. Neither you nor him. You've taken away all those years. He was my brother.
But what are we going to do? What am I going to do? But we had so many good years. Can't we remember all that was good and hopeful in our lives?
No.
It'll be different. Perhaps better.
Not better. Different, yes. Shall we go?
That was The Minister. The novel by Maurice Edelman, MP, was adapted for radio by David Geary. Elizabeth Melville was played by Rosemary Leach and Geoffrey Melville by Nigel Graham. Other parts were as follows. Julia Drayford, Olive Lucius. Francis Waters, Nigel Anthony. Butler, Robin Brown. John Merritt, David Sinclair. Sylvia, Bonnie Hurren. Andrew Collard, Hayden Jones. Howard Forbes, Michael Shannon. Raymond Benson, Nigel Lambert. Alfred Yates, Geoffrey Collins. Gerald Ormston, Martin Matthews. Preston, John Forrest. And Philip Anderson, Fraser Carr. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The producer was Christopher Venning.